After all this, you still...
I still want that gas, yes. And you had better deliver.
Hey, you miss us, dear listener, because we're back. We're back in the greenhouse.
We are back to being gaslit. Ha, just kidding. We were this entire time.
You've been getting gaslit in the greenhouse this entire time. You didn't even need me there to do it. You've been doing it to yourself. But Adi, that's gaslighting. Congratulations, you figured it out.
You did it.
You did it, folks.
Congrats.
You fucking did it. Well, I do want to apologize for the extended absence from recording I've taken lately. Just to be perfectly honest, I've been burned out on everything in my life. And I've kind of just been grappling with, you know, what is the role of content creation in day-to-day life under this system. And it's kind of just, you know, something you do to make yourself feel good. Maybe if you're lucky, you get paid to do it. But I just like doing it to, you know, relieve my need of attention. And now I feel like I've transcended that, because I think now every episode is going to be a low effort episode.
Hey.
I still can't commit to a consistent schedule as of now, but I figured, you know, 'tis the season.
You get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
Exactly. And it's a free show. I want to keep it free, honestly. You pay for so many things already. You pay for, like, the internet. You're already paying for the internet, dog.
You're paying for water. Like, and they ain't gonna lie. Like, they ain't gonna tell you. You're paying for air.
I mean, you know,
you're paying for clean air.
Like, I know the listeners of this show are already, like, freaks who pay for the Patreon of other shows. I do it. We've all done it.
I don't. I'm poor. But go off.
Yeah, you can find a Reddit pirate. It's not that bad. Well,
I'll just listen to nothing.
Well, podcasts, I listen to music. Music, I listen to whale sounds.
Whale sounds, I listen to the drops of rain hitting my window.
Drops of rain hitting my window, I listen to the holy word of Allah, praise be unto him.
There you go.
Okay, seriously though, welcome back to the greenhouse. Not really much of an agenda for today's episode, but I figured it'd be good to maybe recap some of them, their current events, the greenhouse way, which, again, February has kind of been a blur for me, but I think once everything kicked off with Ukraine and Russia the way that it did, I will be the first to admit responsibility for getting owned. I did not think any other country gets to act the way the United States does to other countries. I really thought NATO would be enough of a deterrent to prevent Putin from doing what he did, and the mad lad went for it. I do not stand. But honestly, like, what's bugging me about it is... just how much oxygen this particular issue is sucking out of the room these days. Have you noticed?
Yeah. I mean, it's really bad when you, like, can't get on social media without a white person, like, correlating Ukraine to gas prices.
That's the most annoying kind of posting, by, like, the way. The people who are like, oh, you're mad that gas is $6? Imagine not having a roof over your head. Like,
I am so lucky because I got the chance to go to the gas station and put gas in my car. Then I realized I have a car. I'm a person. I live in America, the greatest country. I'm gonna be okay. I shouldn't worry. Like, yeah, you sound fucking crazy right now.
Did you see that? And again, I'm sorry to bring up people on Twitter, but did you see George Takei's tweet where he was like, oh, I'm actually happy to pay a higher tax price, you know, a gas price, because that's the, you know, the tax of freedom. I just, it's
do
deep Negro spiritual sigh.
But it's like, these are the same people, because no one has taken more interest in the Ukraine-Russia issue than the most comfortable people in the suburbs.
Yeah.
No one has taken a bigger interest. And then
that's not to be cynical.
You know, there's obviously people who like may have people over there who are worried about what's going on. Like, and
many white people in America have contact with people in Ukraine or Russia?
I don't know, which is why I don't want to say anything about it.
I can tell you it's not a lot.
But I'm saying, like, if you are the rare exception, this is not directed
at you.
These
bitches are not Mila Kunis.
but again, it's like, you know the kind of people who are making those posts, right? Like, you know,
super whites.
And if not the super whites, the super suburbanites.
Yes. Oh my god. They just love being suburban too. Like
nursing majors who got placed at a good medical center, those types.
Like yeah. The group of nurses that are still alive that were like, I'm not wearing a mask, they are up in arms right now. Like they are pissed. These specific people who work at like as business analysts, oh my god, this war is killing them. It is like they are in war.
Which is the thing.
They are in Ukraine.
I mean, honestly, it's kind of funny how it was like, I can't remember how long ago this was, but like, so for in full disclosure, okay, me and Sky are normies. We do all the nice gay liberal things. We went shopping for groceries, as people are wont to do. At an establishment known as Trader Joseph's. You may be familiar, you may not be.
And literally, my ass spent twice as much as I told my ass I was going to spend there. I was like, $40.
No, it's like, cap. There's nothing like a war to get the consumerism like running
there's
again.
Nothing
The Trader
else.
Joe's was packed. Yeah. The week Putin declared war on this shit.
Like, everybody's like, I gotta get my essentials.
Your essentials are what? Frozen... Frozen shumai?
If the war go off, these people are dead. Well, like that's the crazy thing.
Like I'm wondering, because I was not an adult during like Iraq and Afghanistan.
I mean, you were during Afghanistan because it literally just
It was still going on, but I mean, like, at, like the post 9/11 shit. You know what I mean? And right. They were just telling people like, the most American thing you can do right now is go shopping. Like the
I can't wait until somebody like starts doing this deep dive on the early 2000s, because what a fucking hellscape that was.
Everything
we have now is because of the hellscape.
Well, I mean Chapo did do that one episode, and then Trillbillies is doing their Year Zero series.
Well, it doesn't need to just be like, I'm talking about the whole thing, like Y2K, 9/11,
oh my
god, like all of that, the second Bush election,
I know we're getting off topic, but it's like, you know how like in history classes these days in like schools, you know how like they just give up once they hit Reagan?
Yeah.
If
they have updated books that have people past Reagan, they still just
give up. Like, and I just remember like I was really hoping in my high school AP Bush class, like AP US History, that like they would cover Bill Clinton, because at least like I have a rough idea what happened the Bush years. And then I could fill in the pieces for Obama and shit. Even though like I was still a kid and my understanding was limited, the Clinton years are like a mystery.
And the H.W. Bush years, like it was 4 years, but like that's still like we don't talk about that. It's like not a part of American history. We know that George Bush Jr. was the son of a president, but then we never talk about the presidency of Senior Bush. So like that's some CIA shit we not gonna get into today.
There is a whole series you could do on HW. There is a lot. And like, even if you don't want to take the parapolitics angle, even if you don't want to take the conspiracy theory angle, there is a lot you can go off of with him being like Reagan's vice president and shit.
You literally,
the connection to like Nixon and shit. You know what I mean?
There's like shit on like the Department of Defense literally bold out saying what we did to people, our people, other people, all of this. And like,
you on the Department of Defense site, the Tuskegee experiments.
Yeah. It's like, man, if you just read, like, not only just read them, but like think about how many of those things happened when George H.W. Bush was like somewhere in the government. It's kind of weird. It's getting weird. But we just gonna let that demon lie. It's a fucking demon. But yeah, like that's the thing. We don't talk about Bush 1, we don't talk about Clinton. We don't talk about Bush 2.
No, in fact, Bush 2 is now basically an honorary Democrat.
Oh my god.
Which there's a whole thing to be said about, and I know we're on 10 different fucking tangents.
And right y'all going to listen.
It's a free fucking episode. Be happy we're back.
But no, like it's so crazy. Like literally Trump came and then people are like, Republicans are under attack. They're good moral values. I'm like,
what good moral values? Which what good moral values? Like,
where y'all get these Republicans from?
I'm sorry. Like, what is moral or value or like, you know, a show of values about? What are they up to these days? God, fucking, just letting trans kids die on the table. Basically, that's what they want.
Yeah,
that's what they fucking want. That's moral agenda. Behavior. Sure. Okay, guys.
Just like kill trans. Like kids, and then put their parents in jail for supporting them. That's the Republican Party now. And also, if you even think about getting an abortion, you're going to fucking jail, bitch.
No, they want to like send bounty hunters after you.
Literally, they want your fucking neighbor who saw the pregnancy test and heard you going to Planned Parenthood to be on the phone snitching so they can give them money for snitching on you for getting an abortion. The fuck?
Can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
they would rather women die. It's literally doesn't make any sense.
There's something so like bizarre about who gets to participate in the culture war discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Because for what it's worth, at least right wingers are consistent. They want people to die. But then the liberals they put up cannot really say anything about how like it kind of doesn't matter. You know what I mean? These are conservatives who like for whatever reason they find the idea of abortion like singularly traumatic to them personally, but any other loss of life or
it's nothing
to them.
Especially if it's a black or brown person.
And especially like, yeah, exactly. Like any
or queer person,
the same people who cry about abortion. These are the same people who like, call you like unserious or, immoral for, you know, opposing police killings of people of color.
Truly don't believe in any assistance for child having children.
These are the same people who are okay with, you know, children and fuck it, people at this point in Palestine getting bombed to shit. These are the same people who will wave away all the military crimes of the United States or its allies in one fell swoop because it defended freedom. But like the idea of an abortion of someone like that was, you know, performed without their knowledge to someone they will never meet is singularly
or have any connection to, like, that's fucking insane.
And that's
like
the thing.
This isn't like it. These situations aren't even like a family member from the family who's like, I can't have a baby and you're aborting your baby. Can you please at least give your baby to me? Like, none of these are situations of like, oh, we're going to help you take care of this child now. It's always like, well, fuck you. have this baby, deal with the complications, deal with postpartum, deal with having to afford a child.
Which is impossible these days now. Like, you've literally made it impossible to have a child these days.
So, like, have fun. Like, no, bruh. Like, that $10,000 fine or whatever kind of fine, that jail time that you would get put in for, like, getting an abortion is literally more affordable than a fucking child.
It's fucked up because it's like, oh, people aren't starting families, but then like you allow wages to descend to this abysmal point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't create any sense of like a society that's building towards anything coherent. The fucking the fucking planet's on fire to top it off. And then it's like,
and I read this tweet today, and it was someone who is pregnant with twins, and she said she wanted us to know that you don't just pay for one ultrasound if you have twins, you pay for two of them because they're two separate fetuses. So like,
but it's one person just carrying both.
You know, on top of everything, they're literally making it even more expensive to even conceive. So that's fun.
More stuff about how Ukraine's kind of like sucking the oxygen out of the room. Remember last year when we were all mad at Andrew Cuomo and how everyone was pretending they were not thirsting over him? Did you see the new round of liberals thirsting over Zelensky? He's so hot. Let's say you are taking this seriously. This is like a guy whose country is at war. Why are you fetishizing him?
Can we talk about how white women are so sexually deprived that they like see people who are dealing with tragedy and everything and be like, it's so hot when you deal with like things that your job is making you do. Like, oh my God. Like, you guys have fucking daddy issues. Like, let's talk about it. And then
this will be the Patreon exclusive series Greenhouse Gaslighting will do on white women.
Like, please go watch some porn. Sit your ass down and shut the fuck up. Like, it's just so annoying. Like, white women literally will, like,
I wouldn't say it's just white women. It's a couple white gays. It's mostly just like the liberals who spend too much fucking time on Twitter and Reddit.
So white femmes.
There were also a couple of guys who like watching their wife get fucked too. There was like one really horrible thing I read on Reddit.
White femmes and cucks.
Yes.
So white femmes and cucks. Fuck you.
We're just coming out the gate.
Yeah, I have a lot of fuck yous that I haven't put on a podcast in a while, so I guess I gotta like get it out. It's just, this is such an annoying time right now. Like,
I mean, for Christ's sake, like, you guys get mad at lefties for not taking this seriously, and then here you are just like masturbating while people are dying. Like,
and it's
what
like,
is this?
People are dying. Oh my God, we're going through World War III. Oh my God, he's so hot. Stand with Ukraine. Like this, I feel like I'm scrolling through TikTok with nonstop and just hearing sound bites and going insane.
No, but literally that's it. It's like people are like making whole ass TikToks of this situation. And, like, telling you what side to pick. And it's like, I'm sorry, I like DSA's original stance on it, which is, this sucks for everyone.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when that one white girl was like, Putin, I wish I was your mother, and everything.
Oh, we're so late to this. But, like, but again, it's like this conflict is going on, and you guys have turned this into an excuse to project yourself.
This
thing that is not happening to you.
But the thing is like, that is always how people think that they are doing like radical change. Like me doing a little slam poetry on YouTube saying Putin was
like
my
nothing
son.
Has done so, more damage to like the future of the American left or progressivism than slam poetry. I think a whole generation has been ruined by slam poetry.
I wouldn't say that because, like,
how many people who could have been like, just let's just give an argument, they would have been like queer anarchists, for example, are now just like doing slam poetry in fucking Soho.
Well, they wouldn't be, because if you have the money to do that, then you are more affluent than you're putting off.
Okay, you got a point. Yeah, it's true. Slam poetry attracts a certain demographic.
Like, if back in the day when it first started, like, it was like black and brown people, you know, actually talking about the tragedies of their lives. And obviously it got co-opted by white people to talk about how one time their daddy yelled at them because they didn't get in the car.
People saw Maya Angelou once and then said, I can do it better.
No, they didn't even see her. They saw someone say a Maya Angelou poem, and the someone was a white woman. And they was like, yes, this is it. I fucks with this. This is my whole personality now. So, yeah, it's sad because literally none of these people have read anyone who actually does poetry that isn't old girl with the, like, haikus.
Your love was like air.
Oh, Rumi. Is it Rumi Kapoor?
I think so. Which, also, if you guys didn't know, she... plagiarize.
I remember that she was like, your fingers were dipping inside me looking for honey they could not find or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just like, is she getting fingered by Winnie the Pooh in that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Looking for honey, and I said, this isn't a forest. I'm not Christopher Robin.
He came to Ukraine to seek out Zelensky. But I didn't lube up this hairy pussy.
For war.
I think, after saying that, whatever anti-capitalist sentiment was in my body, in my heart, in my mind is gone. I'm Biden Harris 2020 now.
2020?
Yep.
We going back in time? It's not even 2024. Yeah, Biden Harris 2020.
Like, wait.
No, that's right. That's how literally all of these years feel like. We're just doing the same thing over and over again.
And I don't know about you, but mentally, I feel like I'm still stuck in 2019.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Time has not really moved.
I think it's 2016 still, boo. But, okay, go on.
Well, I had drastic life changes, so the years did change for me. But yeah, then, like, honestly, it's funny how, like, living as a shut-in for a bit actually prepped me for the pandemic.
Fair. Thanks, Mom, for making me a homebody so I didn't feel like, oh, my God, I'm going insane because I'm not at the club on a Tuesday. Like, no, ew. Even if you do like partying and everything, I don't understand the, like, oh, but like, I'm gonna get COVID.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't
just to party.
I don't stand COVID. I mean, I don't stand Putin. I don't really support his policies. But this man ended COVID. Like, again, like, this Ukraine-Russia conflict is amazing for the American state and the American media apparatus, because now it's just like the biggest rug you can sweep everything else under. I mean, while everyone else is like doing the performative shit of like retweeting putting the flag emoji, picking sides, getting into all like the discourse that everyone always gets into, which again is energy you don't fucking see to anything else. You didn't see this for Yemen, you didn't see this for Ethiopia, you never see this for Palestine. I'm trying to see what else. No, we pretty much covered the outline on this. Fuck. I mean, COVID is practically over to everyone now.
It really is.
Wow. Like Ukraine and Russia are at war. Fuck it.
Literally in other parts of Europe right now, they're getting fucking Omicron 2 electric boogaloo, and it's like, fucking shit up.
But who cares? There's a war. There's a war going on. Why are you talking about COVID? There's a war. Are you not serious, Sky?
You're
not taking this seriously,
Sky. I forgot that I was an American, and my first...
My opinion as an American in a conflict over which I have no real say and I have no real influence on my government over foreign policy over...
War.
My opinion matters on this most.
I just want to know, why war? Because, like, didn't we already learn? What is it good for? And wasn't the answer absolutely nothing? And then we had to say it again, and y'all ain't been listening?
No. No, and I think, again, it's just, there's something sick and twisted about that fundamental sense of powerlessness we have under this system, right? Mm-hmm. And we all feel it existentially to certain extents. And then we shove it down to different extents. And then we do other things to hide that in certain extents. And I think for the bulk of the country, this is okay. Okay, I have no real say in this, but I think the experts are at the wheel, so I'll let them handle that shit.
It's like, which experts? The almost 90-year-old or the almost 90-year-old?
Well, and I don't know.
Just because you were here for all of American history don't mean that you are the expert, bitch.
I think, like, this is why I need to develop whatever it is I want to talk about on, like, American civic religion. Because it's more than just a sociological phenomenon. It's like it's metaphysical at this point. You know what I mean? Like, people have this bizarre faith that things are going to work themselves out while they are monstrously unaware of, like, everything that's happened in the past and everything that's going on right now. There's just this faith that it's going to sort itself out and there will be a future in which all of this still gets to exist as it is. You still get the fucking Coke Freestyle machine. You get 50-ounce slushies. You can drive a gas car well into the future. And even if there's not gas, you can drive an all-electric Hummer soon.
I think it's now. I think they literally have them out.
Why the fuck? Like, do you know how much... They're just going to wipe Bolivia off the map one day. Just so they can make
it. They said, put the
lithium in the fucking car. It's funny how, like, they went straight to, like, the Hummer and, like, the Silverado as, like, the proof that, like, no, we can make this work. Because they had to pick, like, the chode cars that Americans drive.
Right.
They couldn't, like, start with, like a Chevy Spark or, like,
they
a
really
sedan.
Did it.
Or, like,
there's, like, a few, like, actual sedans that are, like, electric. So, like, no one really cares outside of Tesla. Especially no one.
And those are shit.
Tesla.
Those are shit.
But, like, they literally was, like, you know, we're going to go electric. We're going to do it. We're GM. We're going to do it. We can do it.
Bring back the fucking Hummer, bitches.
Bring back the Hummer all electric. Bring back the fucking Silverado all electric. The Mustang is now like a weird muscle car hybrid crossover. Like, what?
Honestly,
sorry to talk cars. We are from Detroit, Motor City, so we got a little interest in motor vehicles, so to speak.
I'm not technically from Detroit, but, like, I live in the Metro Detroit.
Look,
area.
I don't want to be one of those people. You lived in a town that was along I-75.
Yes.
You are along the Rust Belt.
I just don't want to be. I really do feel like I have more connection to Detroit living and being from Saginaw than the people who live in Sterling Heights. Sometimes,
we have a Chrysler plant.
Of the people who live in Sterling Heights. How about that? But, like, I still don't want to be one of those people. Where you're like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from Detroit. And they're like, then...
Where in Detroit?
Yeah.
Because it should be a straight answer. Where in Detroit? West Side. It should be that simple. Like, it's like, I'm from Detroit. Where are you from? Ortonville.
Bro.
It's 50 miles away.
Dude, but the thing is...
It's in a whole other county.
The thing is, the very embarrassing thing is, like, if you've ever talked to someone and, like, you, like... People know people from everywhere, or people are connected to people from everywhere. If you tell somebody that you're from Detroit, especially if you tell a black person they're from Detroit,
and they ask you where,
and you over here
like stumbling, you like, oh, is it the blah, blah, blah. Like the only two cities outside of Detroit that you can like say is Detroit is Southfield and Redford. They just give Detroit energy. They should just be dissolved.
They should be absorbed. Yeah. Like, and I'm sorry. Like,
and I'm not even gonna say Hamtramck because fuck them. That feel like 2008.
I but at least like Hamtramck, you know, like it looks too much like Eastern Europe that you can say it's a different vibe. But like,
bro, I don't
like
know Highland what part Park, of Hamtramck like Park, you were in, dude, but the I'm part so, I was dude, in
I
looks like 2008. I'm not kidding.
I
you.
Don't know. I it might have been just because it was at night, but
yeah it might have been.
I felt like I was in Eastern Europe.
Bro. I literally was. The place I went to was a. It was the newest thing.
I might cut this segment just for posterity.
It's okay,
I might cut this
but
segment.
Like that's just. Like it's insane, but yeah, don't say that you're from a city because you never know who gonna know about that city, and you gonna look dumb.
Because again, it's like you don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh, I'm from Atlanta. Oh, where in Atlanta? Buckhead, huh?
Or you don't want to be one of those people who are like, I'm from Atlanta. Like, we're in Atlanta. It's like the fucking rich black area. It's the Tyler Perry, like, studio area. And you're like, oh, motherfucker.
You don't want to be one of those people who's like, I'm from New York. Where from? Weehawken. What?
I'm from New York. I live in Newark.
Newark? No, I'm from Newark. Where? Edison. Like, you don't like, want to be that person.
Y'all are the worst.
You don't want to be that person.
Like, stop living this lie. Just tell people where you're from.
I mean,
especially if you live in Michigan, just show people your fucking hand. Stop lying.
I guess that's like the one silver lining of the karma of white flight is like you officially renounce any claim of being cool once you move to the suburbs.
I know.
Yeah, you did the material and evil of like pulling all the money out the city. And rust beltifying everything, but once you lie about where you're from, you're exposed.
Oh God, R.I.P. to like people who live in the district or not. I don't care about them. People who have to be in the district Detroit because it's about to be white people season. The Tigers is coming back.
I'm not in a good place right now. No, not mentally or anything. I'm just in the district Detroit.
I'm so sorry for you. People have to work down there. Like, this is about to be killer. I remember when there was, I can't remember which, if it was a concert or a game, but like literally the parking lots, we went to one parking lot and it was like $15. We went to another parking lot. It was $45. It's on the same goddamn street. Like that is a war zone. Y'all want to talk about Ukraine? It's the District Detroit.
I wouldn't say all that, but you have a point. It's Putin, not a coherent point, but you're right.
The Ikovich family is Putin.
The Ilitch family.
Whoever they are.
The Little Caesars family.
Little Caesars peeps, yeah. And if you didn't know, Little Caesars family, Mr. Little Caesar himself and his descendants, they trying to fuck up Detroit. And by trying to, they have.
But didn't Mr. Ilitch pay Rosa Parks' rent?
Bro, Mr. Ilitch is the reason that people like Rosa Parks have to have somebody pay their rent and later in their life. Like, bruh. He be the reason. But I will say that some of my favorite stories about Mr. I has to be like towards the end of his life when he was really trying to like, you know, hurry up with the Little Caesars Arena and shit. And like how many old black folks were like, fuck you. You're not getting my house to turn it into a parking lot. You can fucking die. And, you know, some of them still live in his houses, in their houses, and he's fucking dead. So.
We stand.
Who won?
We stand.
Crazy Bread ain't even that good no more.
I mean, I'm sorry. The quality on a $5 hot and ready. Because on the one hand, I do agree with the age-old truth of Little Caesars tastes good when you don't have a bitch in your ear telling you it's nasty.
Also,
but at the same time,
it tastes good when it's free. It tastes good when it's a pizza party in a public school.
It tastes great when you're at a college event and they needed a reason to drag y'all in the room.
Like, maybe there's free shirts. Maybe it's just Little Caesars. Am I going to go in to check?
Yes. Possibly. Possibly.
I smell the breadsticks.
But, I mean, I'm just going to say it out loud. This is barely cooked dough, man. Like, I'm sorry, y'all were cooking bread in the pandemic, so y'all know. Like,
y'all know what uncooked dough is. Y'all know what it tastes like.
You should have been a little bit disturbed. That
you
should have
been like, God damn. Oh. This tastes like post Kmart Little Caesars. If I could go back in time, you know what I would do?
Save Kmart?
No, fuck them. I will walk around a Kmart, pee Kmart. Go a little shopping. Go down that toy aisle that I used to love so much. See what kind of fits my mama would give me if I was like, you know, if my mama took me shopping. And then go to the food court. Give me some Little Caesars, because that Little Caesars, I'm telling you, was better than any other Little Caesars I've ever had in my life.
I have a question, because like, I was not from a family that ever went to Target. Once I became a nice gay liberal, that's when I started going to the nice gay liberal store, which is Target. But I feel like what Kmart did is it occupied the role Target occupies for a certain income bracket now, but for a lower income bracket then. You know what I mean?
I would agree, except for the fact that because of inflation, the people who would go to Kmart in the past would go to Target now and be considered that same, like, lower class people.
You're not wrong. But you're like, actually not wrong. Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like, Target is a real, like, it's poor people who want to feel
Target
better.
Always, like, the relatively fancier of the month? Okay, what? Always, like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Target, it's like, when you think of, like, chains, it would be Target, Walmart would be very below that, and then Kmart would be either on the same level as Walmart or a little bit above or a little bit below.
The Kmart in Sterling Heights, that shit slaps,
bro. Like, the Kmart in Saginaw, that shit was
the big K.
Oh,
the big K,
bro. Let me fuck up a big K. Like, oh my god,
I practically grew up in one of them. shit.
I was raised by the big K.
Which isn't it kind of fucked up that like we're recounting our childhoods and all it is just a bunch of consumer experiences?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
but at least we tried to be cheap back in the day. These hoes like, gotta have my Birkin, but with my Fashion Nova. I'm like, bitch, just have a bag. Don't be mad, bitch. Get a bag, bitch. Megan Thee Stallion already said this.
I'm sorry. I can get the luxury standard fit at Costco.
For real.
If I can get the Calvin Klein jumper at Costco, I'll just wear that all winter.
Literally, if you see us ever in like quote unquote designer or like name brands, I'm telling
you. It absolutely came from Costco.
I'm telling you it's from Costco.
No, and I stand by this in that like, if there is anything to be retained from America's consumer society, like assuming like we save the world or whatever, and like there's no more climate change, and like let's just be optimistic for like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think Costco is the only like aspect of it that should be retained.
Yeah.
Because what it is, like what Costco is, it's like those supply depots they had along the Silk Road during the Mongol Empire. And, like, your Costco membership card is, like, the golden tablet they gave you to, like, access grain for your horse there.
It is
the equivalent in our society.
It's better than all of this other shit. And if you're a Sam's Club person, I'm sorry.
How does it feel to shop at fancier Walmart?
Right. Like, you're shopping at Walmart. Bulk buy Walmart. I'm shopping at Costco. I'm getting that $1.50 hot dog and soda. I'm getting that $5 fucking chicken. I'm getting these samples. Please tell me how we are the same. We're not.
I'm getting a fucking 26 pack of briefs.
We're getting
I'm getting a sofa.
We're getting that $12.99 huge ass bottle of fucking vodka that is literally the exact same as Grey Goose, but a million times cheaper.
And it's American made, unlike these Russian products. That's the other thing. Okay, let's tie it back. We've had enough digressions. So like, the other silly thing that came out was like people are dumping their Russian products. And the other thing, the most stupid example of this I saw was like, there was a Karl Marx room in a library in Florida that they changed the name of because they don't support Russia's aggression in Ukraine. I'm like, this is a whole German dude that lived in London.
There was a Karl Marx room in a library in Florida?
Allegedly.
What the fuck?
Again, I personally like Florida. I think Florida has...
We're not going to go on a Florida debate. We've had this conversation every
I think
day
Jacksonville
week.
Is a fun time.
I think you're a dirty liar. But, like, let's continue. I think we have very different versions of what is fun. And literally every single thing... Like, when the media tells you something, you gotta listen sometimes. And what the media has told me about Jacksonville, Florida...
So you don't believe my on the ground reporting?
No.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you. Not about Florida, no. I don't believe anyone's. I'm like, you're fucking lying. And then I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's warm there. There's beaches.
Well, I think like, you know, because again, like Jewish people get birthright trips. What if like all Americans get a birthright trip to Jacksonville?
Why?
And like you go to like why would Jacksonville
it,
for a week.
Why would it be Jacksonville?
I think it's one of the most American cities in the country. I think like people talk about like shit like Dallas. They talk about New York. They talk about Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Bitch, we're literally from Detroit area. We're like
you just did a whole tirade about
Detroit people. Area. We this is the most American. What is more American than fucking factories and cars? Gators. And music.
Gators.
Fuck them.
Folks,
don't
folks,
like,
I think,
but
I think,
like,
I think,
don't I... make sure you don't think that that was like bestiality. Because I mean, like, I don't like gators. Or crocodiles. They'd be eating babies.
So you're going to come out as anti-reptile on my show.
Did I say anything about any of the reptiles? I fucks with lizards.
What is a gator?
Heavy.
What is a gator?
A dinosaur.
No.
It's the fuck.
I think they predate dinosaurs.
Wouldn't that make them fucking dinosaurs as well?
No, cuz dinosaurs is a specific class.
A specific class of what?
Reptiles. I think dinosaurs came about before reptiles did. And then they just kind of stayed the same.
No, there was motherfuckers who looked just like that swimming up in the fucking lake with the dinosaurs. And guess how they survived? Because the meteor hit on land and them niggas was like, I'm in the water. I'm pretty sure this is science. Do quote me on that.
I mean, you know what? I think previous policy from other shows applies in other episodes. If you're using this show as a primary source, you deserve to fail on your paper. I hope you fail your
First
paper.
Of all, if your professor is letting you use this
like a
podcast, this not...
Imagine citing fucking TrueAnon.
Bro.
Citing Chapo.
That's going to be like... 5 years from now, maybe I'll get like really try to care about higher ed if in 5 years where you can just cite podcasts. I want to be the person who creates the APA of podcasts.
That would be fun, honestly. But like, I think like if I was a professor, not that that's likely to happen at all, but if I was, like, if there was a day I couldn't come into lecture, I would just like put the podcast on like the online platform and just be like, listen to it. But then I would put it on an RSS feed for my actual podcast and then, like, use it to pump up my metrics.
Hey, You're like, hey, listen to this.
And if I even,
and then it, you got to click the link and it's exactly, and it's going to help you. No, like that's exactly.
Like, and it's like, here's the thing. Let me get like a bio 101 class. So it's like a, like 400 freshmen. It's like,
you
hey,
have
welcome,
to listen
hey,
to
hey,
this.
Hey, hey, pop, it, pop back into a greenhouse gaslighting. Today we talk about cell organelles.
You
okay,
have a
mitochondria.
Quiz on
mitochondria
the
is the powerhouse of the cell.
Oh my God. That's literally the same as professors who like write a book and then make the book mandatory.
And that's the thing. It will always
and the book's
be a free
always
podcast.
Like $40+ and you like, bitch. And it's always for a paragraph. And I'm like, I feel like I should sue you for this money back. The fuck?
Textbooks are the biggest racket in that whole thing. Okay. Fuck me. I'm proud of us for at least not falling under the spell of the Russia-Ukraine thing, because we could not sweep ourselves under the rug.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I truly can't talk about... It's... we're living in a pandemic. Like, I'm not... We're not going to pretend like we're not in a pandemic.
It's more than the pandemic. This is like a major crisis of... capitalism and like the current world order. I'd say it is a crisis point, and there is a worrying mix of what are you talking about, the order still works and everything is falling apart, if you don't listen to us you are going to be responsible for its downfall.
And it's lies.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what you think. If you don't support NATO, you are the reason Putin takes over everything. NATO is this thing that I had no say in its creation.
Do I look like I'm over here talking to people and be like, yeah, thumbs up for NATO? And they're like, yeah, she's got our votes.
Like,
oh, no.
You guys already.
We can't do it anymore.
You guys already know what I think about NATO. You guys already know that, like, I think this is a stupid idea. Like, why did we create this thing that was designed to contain the Soviet Union and then not destroy it after the Soviet Union fell? And then pressure this region into bowing under its dictates and then influence this kind of position. Because if you look at John Mersheimer, if that's how you say his name, like, his predictions kind of came true. A lot of people did not predict the situation. He did. I don't support the guy entirely, but he kind of predicted this shit going down the way it did. And it's like this kind of religious support we have for these old institutions of the American Empire does not seem to be adapting to the changing conditions we're under. Whether it's something as silly as the Electoral College or whether it's something like NATO, we are dooming ourselves to maintaining crumbling infrastructures, and I don't want this conflict to continue any longer than it has to. It fucking sucks. It fucking sucks that it's happening. I feel bad for everyone in Ukraine who's like lost people. I feel bad for people in Russia who are protesting this struggle and not having, you know, that sentiment respected by their government, but here we are.
Yeah. I am sad that America fucking sucks. And it's just like, you know what? We haven't been in a war in a bit.
Honestly, America's like the worst friend in this situation. Like, they basically hyped up Ukraine. Like, no. You can take him on, bro. It's like telling like the short friend at the bar. Like, oh, no, you can take him on. He's like, you're taking on this guy who's like 7 foot, 400 pounds. Just a bear. He's like, go take him on.
A physical
go take
bear.
Him on. Go take him on. And he's like, I can't do it. Yeah, you can do it. I got your back. Okay.
Where are you?
And you're getting your ass kicked by a literal, like, getting your ass kicked. That it's just like, America, can you help? Thing is, that would trigger a nuclear war. Then why did you pit them? Why did you egg this on?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I would love to. Like, I can send you a little money, but I just really can't get involved. I'll send you a little military aid, like, but like I really can't get involved in it because, you know, it might start a nuclear war that like has just been being put off for like so many years. And
I want that to happen. Oh, don't think that I don't want that to happen. I'm America, of course.
I'm just gonna ask the cynical question. Do you think they did it just to boost the stocks a little bit, just to boost the stonk, and then
we hadn't been in a war in 2 seconds, so I think we really were like,
yeah, especially
give me that full-on conflict. Like, yeah, we bombing people everywhere, but like that, like war.
But this is fun because like. America doesn't even have to set foot in this.
Exactly. But we are still, well, not we, but like soldiers. They're like making soldiers go there.
They're sending weapons.
They're sending weapons. They're selling military.
And they're encouraging people to volunteer.
Bro. You got me fucked up. Like, why do you think, other than like, literally the Proud Boys and all these other like white people that are like absolutely ridiculous and not about it. Why would anyone be like, you know what I haven't done? Fought in a good war lately. And you know what I should fight for? I don't know. I don't know what I should fight for. What are we fighting for? Do you know? Do any of you guys know in the room? No? Oh, okay, I guess I'll just go shoot people. Like, they're making even more psychopaths. Congrats.
I don't fucking know what to make of this situation.
It's fucking shitty. It's shitty that people have their land occupied at any time. It's shitty that America can, like,
play with the sidelines.
Literally, like no matter who is in charge, like this is what America does. The only thing that really matters when there's like a Republican or a Democrat is like how we get treated. No matter who's in charge, everyone else around the world gets treated like this from America. And we just sit there and people boast about this being the best country and amazing and freedom and all that other nonsense. But like, that's not real. There is no freedom. We've only been in two good wars, the Civil War and World War II.
And by when I say we, I mean the Union in the Civil War.
Yeah. I'm Black, so like,
yeah, of course.
Bro, slavery? No, absolutely not. I'm not pro slavery in the way that it is now. Like, you know, jails and all that other stuff. But like, it's so fucking.
No, and here's the thing with both those conflicts too. By the way, like, even though like we played a like in the Civil War, we won, the Union won, and then in World War II. We had a role. I wouldn't say we were the top dog because the Soviet Union gave the most lives in that conflict. But the United States did play a major role in the Western theater. And both times we fucked up the aftermath. I mean, at the end of the Civil War, we just like...
Reconstruction.
We fumbled the bag on Reconstruction. And then,
yay, Black people can go to hell. Like, literally, that's Reconstruction.
Black people, shit.
Black people. Yeah, that was
also kind of World War II, too.
Okay, the GI Bill. Like, that's the thing. It's like, even, like, every time we go to war, for all of the reasons, no matter what, just... things is more fucked up. And like, if we
but even at the end of World War II, right, it's like, so then we just immediately get into a standoff with the Soviet Union. We don't even like say, hey, can we talk about what happened? Like, we didn't even do that.
Can we like discuss what happened?
We fucking do Operation Paperclip. Like, we fucking find all the Nazi guys and just bring them over. Like,
please,
that's despicable. It's fucking despicable, yeah, that we did that.
That's insane. That's fucking insane.
Keep in mind, and like, I guess, yeah, when we said World War II, what we really meant was defeating the Nazis.
Oh yeah, all I really think about when it comes. Well, that's all the positive things.
I think it was still necessary to fight Imperial Japan, but the way America went about it at the end of the day with the nukes.
Because like, why did we have to bomb the Asian people when the Nazis were right there?
Well, and that's the thing. So, did you ever see that Mandela quote? Apparently there was a plan to like drop it in Germany. I don't know if it ever came about.
Yeah, there was a plan.
I'm not. You guys can't. I am one of the dumbest people in podcasting.
I mean, I'm right here, but like, go on.
There are people who are dumber than me with more followers, but I can't. That's the thing. I would be a hater if I said that. But in terms of like my actual body of knowledge, no, my body of knowledge is very limited on history. So I will admit
that. He literally knows more history than me too. So like,
okay, but then
we're not historians.
But then compared to like, I don't know, someone like, I mean, all these other big podcasts that I follow, like those guys at least have some kind of body of reading behind it. So I don't know. Anyways, listener, I try to declare up front how little I know and how much of the show is commentary. If you ever feel the need to like pull me aside and be like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Absolutely do that.
And we'll probably be like, bro, I don't know. Leave me the fuck alone.
Well,
this is a hobby.
But I feel like if I was like really out of pocket, well, for yeah, something, like I would don't feel
like if we said something that like
is deeply out of pocket, yeah, or like is like it's just wrong, like yeah.
But if you guys have any, if you're like, you said bad things about white women, I will.
Yeah, because this is all opinion and like left podcasting at the end of the day, which is all nonsense. It's all garbage. You. My brother in Christ, you press play.
You listened to the podcast.
You listened to the podcast.
You came here. We did not force this upon you. So yeah, just remember that, and remember that. I don't know. War is bad. People shouldn't die.
And you should not wrap yourself up in how do I insert myself and my validation of myself into an event. That should be the last way you process things. But that's what our culture incentivizes. And on that subject, let's actually talk about some of the things that are getting swept under the rug by this coverage. This is like a topic I've actually been personally avoiding for a bit, just because like I don't have the heart to read about it. But I mean, have you been keeping up with like this recent round of anti-trans legislation that's been coming up in certain states?
Yeah, it's absolutely despicable.
Yeah, I felt like I should at least speak on it today, because it should not go unmentioned. But I'm going to pull up this article here from NBC News just to, you know, quickly read on what's going on. So I'm just going to skim this article and I will provide the link, but I think it's necessary we discuss this somewhat. Republican lawmakers in Arizona, Alabama, Indiana, Kentucky, Oklahoma, New Hampshire, and South Dakota introduced at least 9 measures that target trans and non-binary youths, such as their ability to participate in sports, receive gender-affirming care, or use the bathroom. The legislative push within the first few days of 2022 quickly follows with what some advocates have labeled the worst year in recent history for LGBTQ state legislative attacks. Just moving through. Last year, bills prohibiting health care for trans youth were introduced in more than 20 states, with 2 states, Arkansas and Tennessee, signing them into law, according to a tally from the American Civil Liberties Union. And out of the more than 30 states to introduce restrictions on trans athletes last year, 9 states enacted the legislation into law, according to the advocacy group, the Human Rights Campaign. Supporters of the bill have largely argued that they want to prevent young people from, and I say this in scare quotes, it's not in scare quotes in the article, from making medical decisions they might later regret, and to protect the rights of cisgender girls and women in school sports. I'm just going to read what some of these Neanderthals are saying. It is unfortunate that we see this as removing the rights of any people, Republican State Rep Rhonda Milstead, who introduced South Dakota's trans sports ban this week, told NBC News in an email. If competitive sports are made to be fair, There is a place for everyone to compete according to the biology they were born with. Oh, that hurts me. This is hurting me to read. Okay.
Yeah, it's just really just so sad.
I'm just probably gonna read this last part. Last year's slew of anti-trans bills cannot be directly attributed to the decline in mental health of LGBTQ youths. However, a separate report from the Trevor Project last year shows that crisis lines experienced a surge in calls from young people living in Texas, which considered over 50 bills targeting trans kids last year, according to advocacy group Equality Texas. From January through August, the organization received nearly 4,000 crisis calls from trans and non-binary Texan youths, a 150% increase compared with the same time period in 2020. It's very dark, and there's a strong sense among trans people that we are having the door slammed in our face just as we got our foot in the door. So I'll admit that my own ability to follow up on this topic has been limited, and I should have done a little better to prepare myself for this topic. But what was bothering me when I was initially reading some of these headlines and looking at some of the coverage and seeing like people talk about it on the internet and stuff, was just how little response is coming up, especially from the Democratic Party. And I know that in the 2020 primary, for example, it was played up to be a big snafu, for example, that Bernie Sanders made the mistake of going on Joe Rogan. And make no mistake, Joe Rogan is transphobic. I don't think Bernie made a mistake in going on his program because he needed to win that campaign. But I remember the way in which Democrats got holier than thou about it. And Biden went on the "I don't think you should discriminate against trans people" rant that he said very incoherently. And it's frustrating to see this Democratic Party, who we've talked about in past episodes. We covered this before in, I think, our Pride Month episode last year, and I think the point still stands of the liberal establishment and its arm in the Democratic Party is very content with relegating queer life to the states in which it holds political power, especially among the people who can afford to be part of its patronage network, namely middle class people, people who are affluent in cities, that kind of cohort. But not everyone makes it to San Francisco and New York.
Not everyone wants to.
Not everyone can. Not everyone can.
Not everyone wants to.
Like, yeah, not everyone will, I should say.
Like, those places aren't, like, what about the black and brown queers? Like, they get excluded from those places all the time. They don't want to be there. They can't be there.
And this is the kind of thing that, like, it kills me to watch every time this kind of thing happens. And I don't like saying it that way because it belies that this is going to continue to happen, which is an unfortunate reality that you should prep for. But like we were talking about with abortion earlier, and the same thing here applies to like the protections for trans and gender nonconforming people, right? Is it's an abject failure of liberals and their political apparatus to relegate queerdom to the coasts, to relegate it to their strongholds, and give up on any semblance of trying to win in the red states, blaming people who live in red states for their misfortunes just because they happen to live there and can't get out. And you, I mean, you see this, right? With like remembering Kentucky when there was that tornado last year, and there was that, there was someone who said that, well, this is what you get for voting for Republicans, as if that,
as like if like you only the Republicans got like hit, and all of the people who were Democrats or didn't vote, they just got spared.
And what it betrays is this real sense they have of not recognizing the needs of poor people of color, of queer people, everyone in those intersections who exists in red states. They still exist. They still live in those places, and they need your help just as much as the dual income, no kids who vote for y'all in San Francisco. Okay. It's an abject policy failure to like leave them on the table, basically. And again, like another thing that I hear a lot from liberals too is this sense of like, well, if they need that help, then why don't they vote for Democrats? One, we already have discussed this time in, time out of that. I think the average person does not have any faith in elections, save for the ones who are engaged. And the other point is, you know, you make this big point about gerrymandering and then be surprised that gerrymandering is happening.
How dare it happen? And then also do nothing when after laws like, let's stop gerrymandering, get taken over by these shitty people
mm-hmm.
who want to keep gerrymandering.
it is an abject failure of the Democratic Party at the end of the day. And I mean, it behooves all of us who, you know, our allies especially, to do something about it. I personally am still looking at like what's the best way. Like, is there some kind of mutual aid? Is there like a legal defense fund or whatever? I'm personally not sure. And if there's any like resources that folks are aware of that you could direct us towards or start directing people towards, that would be much appreciated. Because it's, I don't know, this kind of shit is just monstrous. There's no excuse for any of it. This is not one of those things you can chalk up to a political disagreement. It's not a political disagreement. Well, it is, but in the sense of this is literally, you know, a way to keep the culture war going at the expense of people who are vulnerable. And that fucking sucks.
It really does.
Something else that's getting swept under the rug. You hear about all this new business going on in the Senate?
I try not to keep up with them.
That's generally good advice. I have good news and bad news. What would you rather start with?
Bad news.
Okay, let's start with the bad news first. Joe Manchin is back. Whose fire alarm is going off? That better not be. It's not us.
No.
So Joe Manchin, when it came down to having a nominee for some kind of Federal Reserve position, the nominee's position would be that they would view climate change as a risk. And that was basically, you know, lock, stopped, and barreled by him. You know, he kind of helped like pause that up. They needed to get a Republican to vote yes to replace his no vote. And you good luck at getting that to happen, Joe Brandon. So I know that's like one of those things that like, how does it help to have a nominee in the Fed who sees climate change as a threat? But that's just one of those like things that chip away at Biden's already weak agenda on climate change. And then
his already weak agenda on literally all of this shit.
And then there was a bunch of like, I think there was another round of federal funding that had to be renewed. And if I'm recalling correctly, He voted no on a lot of it. I don't know if the funding passed or not, but I know that while he was shipping away that funding, he was sending it to a bunch of pet projects of his in West Virginia to, you know, maintain his patronage network. So, again, it's just fascinating to see the way in which this body is incapable of doing anything good for anyone at a time when, like, the bare minimum of action would help people drastically in this country. And even internationally, I'd argue, just the barest minimum of action will go a long way. You want the good news?
Of course.
So, have you ever noticed that, like, Republicans are the ones who, like, have this major opposition to daylight savings time? Like, you know how, like, Indiana is the only, like, Midwest state that, like, doesn't observe daylight savings?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy how that, like, and again, like, they're a Republican stronghold, so I guess, like, you know, they were able to get that passed pretty unanimously, but I'm just going to read this quickly. This is the first Washington Post article that is not being paywalled. Wow, okay. In the blink of an eye, Senate passes time change bill with no dissents.
Which is my thing. I'm sorry to cut you off. My thing is, like, y'all can agree on this. This is the thing that y'all are like, yes, we're coming together. Why?
Well, here's the funny part. Apparently it happened by accident.
What do you mean?
Okay, so I'm just going to read from the article. So, late Tuesday afternoon, with no real debate, the Senate unanimously agreed to legislation that would make daylight saving time the permanent setting for U.S. clocks, ending the ritual of changing clocks in the fall and late winter. The proposal, pushed by Senator Marco Rubio,
which is also insane, since because 2018. I forget that he exists. Literally forget.
I
and then when I remember, so I get great. Real mad.
My life be so great, then I'm reminded Marco Rubio exists.
Like, literally. I'm like, oh, yeah, him.
Since 2018, had never been considered with a hearing in the Senate, let alone had a full legislative markup of the bill. Rubio's Sunshine Protection Act had just 18 co-sponsors, has 41 co-sponsors. The companion bill in the House has 41 co-sponsors. And received a hearing last week before a Consumer Protection Subcommittee. The Senate legislation passed so quickly that some senators had no idea that they had consented to let it get approved without a roll call vote.
How does that even happen?
Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, whose job it is to count votes as the minority whip, learned the legislation had passed from reporters. Whose bill is it? Thune asked, somewhat incredulously. It passed? Senator Dick J. Durbin, Democrat Illinois, the majority whip, also learned from the media that the legislation to make the spring forward permanent had passed the chamber. Made what permanent? He asked. Of course, while the two Senate leaders were unaware of what happened, they basically liked the idea of more sun later in the day, regardless of how it means sunrises arrive very late in the winter, approaching 9 a.m. in some northern states. I kind of like daylight saving times, Durbin said.
Fucking loser.
I
Everybody else is, like, literally traumatized from daylight savings. These white people are like...
We talk about, like, the prestige of the Senate and, like, how powerful these and influential these people are. And just, like... what is it? You know, these are wise people making the best decisions, and they have to show measured restraint. And they just pass this without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Just asleep at the wheel as a fucking country. Like,
I mean, asleep at the wheel literally because they are old. And a lot of them should probably, like, redo their driver's tests. Slash might just have drivers so they don't have to worry okay. about driving.
And they got a quick like rundown for all of us dummies. So, proposed bill, the Senate voted to end the biannual practice of spring forward and fall back under a bill that would make daylight saving time permanent, a move that reflects the increasingly popular view that twice yearly disruption hurts sleep and poses health and safety risks. Sleep experts say the Senate has it wrong. Experts widely agree with the Senate that the country should abandon its twice yearly seasonal time changes. However, many experts believe the country should adopt year-round standard time. Be careful what you wish for. I didn't wish for this. I had no idea it happened.
Right. This just woke up and it was like this.
How daylight savings time originated. For roughly two decades, nobody had any clue what time it was, with some localities observing daylight savings, some not. Until President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Uniform Time Act in 1966. Can you imagine? You just go someplace and it's not the same time and you're just like, well, I showed up when I showed up, I guess.
About early that. Or about late?
I would love that. Oh my God. And around the world, Brazil eliminated daylight saving time. Now it's light out before 5 a.m. and people aren't happy. That sucks. So you're telling me it's like morning at like 4:30?
Absolutely not.
Ugh. Okay.
Dang, Brazil's just taking L's, huh?
So I know this has been a disconnected episode, but what's the moral of the story here?
This shit sucks.
Once again, by virtue of how this fucking structure of power and the media and all this shit is set up, you are being gaslit in the greenhouse.
There. Boom, boom.
We're back at it again. Everyone is like back on social media with their opinion. Like they have influence over this problem. Fully and willfully unaware of like the conditions that led up to it.
How did this exact thing happen the way that we made it happen? Oh no.
I don't know. And again, it goes back to that thing I was talking about, like that fundamental powerlessness we feel but then like push away. At some level, isn't it sick how like people just take it for granted? Yeah, I am powerless in this system. You know what I'm gonna do about it? Post till I fucking die.
Right. Still say this shit fucking sucks.
Like, here's the thing. If you really wanted to like help Ukraine, why are we not like pushing for refugees to come in, asking the IMF to ease things up, asking getting the United States to not like escalate this by like selling weapons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not gonna happen because, you know, people want to retain that level of comfort they have while, you know, projecting their emotional validation onto political issues. And as long as that continues to be the paradigm, we are going to continue to be gaslit in the greenhouse.
Ta-da.
I love how I just started saying that, like, we have a standard definition for it. We don't. Okay, how long have we been at it? Okay, so we've been at it for about an hour and a half, so I think we're good to cut pretty much. I don't know. You got any closing thoughts for us to close us out?
Y'all homes need to fucking relax. Like, chill. Start being nicer to people. Like, this world sucks so bad. Stop making it worse. Also, COVID's not over. And
what are you talking about?
COVID's not over. I want everyone to remember that. It's not over. We're coming up on another wave. So.
Funny how that also got buried under the rug, right?
Mm-hmm.
In summary, you know, the whole point is to not get self-serious, but to take this seriously. You know what I mean? And, like, really understand what are the conditions here. And I think, you know, it can be, like, kind of doomer mindset, or it can be, like, it can be really, like, disheartening to accept your level of powerlessness, but that opens you up to then actually thinking about, okay, so what is it I can do in my life? And like, and I don't know, I implore people to be realistic in that sense. I implore people to maybe look at United States foreign policy in a more critical eye. Look at the ways in which reporting and discourse are counterproductive and bizarre. But also, we're all just trying to get through the day. I don't know. And that's honestly why I couldn't get an episode out for so long, because like, the broad sense I was just having is I don't know. So, with that, dear listener, we're going to sign off for this episode. You can find the links to all our social media and whatnot in the episode description. And as a small update, because again, I am working on standardizing certain things for the show. While I can't commit to a consistent release schedule yet, if you do want to support the show, we do have a Patreon that is live. That's patreon.com/greenhousegaslighting, the way the show is spelled. Contributions are purely optional. You do not have to contribute anything if you cannot. And it is purely voluntary. It's only if you want to support us. And stay tuned on Twitter for any updates on the show. Till next time, see you all in the greenhouse. Take care, folks.